Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a podcast analytics platform that enables podcasters to see all the relevant data they need to know about their podcast's audience. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and use the referral code Wrestling2XPod. Again, the code Wrestling2XPod.
What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed.
I said, give me the hell yeah!
Hey, this is Zayda Zay.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
You need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks!
Hey, everyone, this is Jeff Cobb, and you're listening to the Wrestling Podcast.
You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Wrestling Podcast. Stan C. and Ro Moran coming to you on this audio-only version of the pod. And man, we have a very, very fun conversation waiting in the wings for you. We're talking to Bibo Reyes, whose name you might recognize from Ang Huling El Bimbo. He played young Hector over there. He's also been in Waitress and a whole bunch of other musicals here in the local theater scene. Siyempre, theater and wrestling, they intersect a whole lot. I mean, you know, MWF palang sobrang dami na, diba? And the fact that at PWR, we used to hold shows at a legit theater venue at Powermax Center Spotlight. And when I first reached out to Bibo Reyes on Twitter, I was like, I wonder how big of a fan he is. I mean, he must know his fair share because he knows and likes Judas by Fozzy well enough to do a cover on it na napansin ni Chris Jericho. But man, this conversation just went in so many different directions I did not expect.
Nabambuzo tayo dun, in a good way. So yeah. You guys are in for a really fun conversation. I think if you listened or if you tuned in to yung interview niya with JDL and Ken Warren, I think you have an idea of what to expect. But otherwise, I think you will be pleasantly surprised, as we were too. So yeah.
Yeah, he talks a lot about his fandom, his favorite wrestlers, his favorite video game, and going to WrestleMania way before, you know, we ever got to talk to our friends who'd also been to WrestleMania's past. So, yun, he's got a lot of stories about that. That's all coming up on this week's exclusive audio-only episode of the Wrestling Podcast. Before we get to Bibo Reyes, though, let's tell you about the need for a reliable courier, especially at a time like this when we're all working from home. And thankfully, Mr. Speedy is there to take care of all our delivery needs. And in fact, they've got a special offer available for you just because you're a listener of the Wrestling Podcast. So get this, you can get 50 pesos off your first Mr. Speedy delivery by using our promo code WrestlingXMrSpeedy. That's the word wrestling spelled twice, the letter X, and then the letters MRSPEEDY. 50 pesos off your first delivery. That's a huge discount given the prices of deliveries. And this is available on MrSpeedy.ph or on the Mr. Speedy app, which you can get on the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, and the Huawei Mobile Gallery. And it's available in Metro Manila, Cebu, Davao, and all nearby provinces. So once again, use our promo code WrestlingXMrSpeedy and get 50 pesos off your first delivery right now. All right, time for us to get to the main event. Here's our conversation with the great Bibo Reyes. We're back with another exclusive audio-only episode right here on the Wrestling Podcast. And I'm personally excited for this guest because I'd like to think he's a fellow Jericho-holic. So I bust out my Chris Jericho shirt for today. Bibo Reyes is here on the Wrestling Podcast. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. It's good. How are you?
We're great. You know, like you, I'm guessing stuck at home pa rin, you know, in season X of GCQ or whatever the hell we're on right now.
That's depressing to hear.
No, but we want to know, like, for someone like yourself whose main field is theater, how have you guys been through this entire time?
Dude. I mean, of course, we've gone on and on about it on whatever platforms we have. But, you know, a long story short, it's obviously like you guys in the wrestling world, in any performance arts that involves a live audience. It's, you know, it just can't happen right now. So whatever online avenues are available, a lot of theater performers have gone to streaming now. So stuff like that, usually. The lucky ones get like projects that are work from home, like shoot from home type deals, whatever ads and stuff. But, you know, as people and companies' patience has worn thin with actually complying with what needs to happen during a pandemic, like more and more stuff are going as if nothing is wrong. So that's kind of where we're at as far as the balance of the field and how exactly we get over this worldwide disease going around.
I know. I mean, there's so many people we can throw under the bus, but let's not do that.
I know, dude. Okay, let's not do that.
Although I think we all know who to blame right now. Let's focus on you, though. Let's focus on the good stuff. Yeah, sure. And I started following you on Twitter because I saw that you appeared on Chris Jericho's Twitter timeline. He retweeted your cover of Judas, which I also took a few minutes to listen to it. I loved it. That was pretty good. How did you decide to just do a cover of Judas?
Yeah, a cover of his number one song, which is the absolute markiest thing to do. Jericho, notice me, man. Look at this cover of your song. But, real story is there's this thing on YouTube called the Movie Trivia Schmodown. It's a movie trivia series competition. It has a bit of a following as far as the YouTube movie scene goes, like reviewers and pundits and stuff like that. And Jericho is a part of it. He's competed in the Movie Trivia Schmodown. And they opened auditions for it this year because they're able to get competitors and participants worldwide since they've been forced to do it online. They used to do it in studio. And since I sent in an audition, and I figured I would try to get El Champion's attention through Twitter and then implore him to maybe put in a good word for me. I did get in. I don't know if
Oi, congrats.
Thank you. It was just a draft, and then I wasn't drafted, which sucks. But there's like this minor league; they're gonna probably put us in anyway. Yeah, and I was just trying to get his attention, and then it worked. But also, I love the song, and I figured like there probably aren't many wrestling fans who are performers that are singers or like actively do covers of stuff. Not that I'm like a professional singer by any stretch, nor do I do a lot of covers, but you know, it's just one of those things where you put a lot of things you love together. And since I have a decent following because of the theater and stuff like that, I figured I'd try to get Jericho to notice me, senpai.
You're not a professional singer because your voice is so strong. Like when you hear the song, pang metal talaga yung boses. When you hear your cover.
I'm a professional singer in the sense that I get paid to sing because I'm in musical theater, right? But as far as like being just a singer, like straight up, like I am a songer and you will listen to me serenade you. That's really not. But my peers in the theater world will know as much that I sing on stage in a musical, but as far as like a concert, stuff like that, it's not really my beat.
But hey, mission accomplished. Jericho put you over, and he even said, so how did that feel, Naman, for you? Because, you know, you set out to do one goal and boom, mission accomplished.
Dude, it was a trip. Honestly, when I first tweeted it, I don't have that many, like I don't have like a huge following that like, you know, latches onto my every word. And it got, if I tweet something that resonates with people, like it'll get a good amount of likes. If it's something that involves theater, it usually gets, because there are a lot of young people who have gotten into theater now because of some things that happened during the pandemic. But like for the most part, like my tweets will get a couple likes here and there. I was pretty discouraged when I first tweeted it out because it got like, I don't know, like 20, 30 likes. And I was like, oh man, he's not going to notice at this rate. And you know how when you tweet at a famous person, like you look at their mentions and see like, oh man, it's been like 5 seconds and it's already like the 10th one there. Like he's not going to see this. Oh, well. And then throughout the day, I was like, ah, whatever. Okay. And then I went to sleep. I woke up to his retweet, and I was like, "Oh man, yeah, it worked! Yes, all right, let's go." And it was a trip. Now, Jericho is like one of the greats whom I haven't been able to see live. It's one of my greatest wrestling regrets, and it was just really cool to be able to interact with him thanks to the Sockmeds.
Yeah, the power of social media. So, yeah, let's dig into your fandom and get to know it a little bit better. When did you become a fan of wrestling, and who was the first wrestler that caught your eye?
I you know, as it is with most people in our age bracket, growing up in the 90s, of course, it was the Attitude Era that really was like, you know, that's the foundation of my fandom. My favorite of all time, like no one can tell me anything, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, like straight up. Like I will go absolutely bonkers for CM Punk, and like my fandom for him is like at another level, but I still will hold Stone Cold above him and everyone else. I know that's obviously it's largely subjective, but Stone Cold is the GOAT for me. But you know, and of course I knew you'd ask this kind of question, you know, what sparked my fandom and stuff. I realized upon thinking about it that even though the Attitude Era is like, it's like I said, it set the foundation for my fandom, what I actually have the most memories and connection to is actually the Ruthless Aggression Era, which is in my opinion is a really underrated era as far as
I agree
American wrestling is concerned. Yeah, people are gonna look. I mean, people have looked back on it very fondly, but I think as time goes along, even more so, people are gonna be like, "Wow, there are a lot of like greats, you know, going around, running around during that time." So yeah, and also because it was when, you know, when Ruthless Aggression was when I was like a teenager, yeah. I didn't care about anything. Don't tell me anything, dude. So that kind of attitude, that was kind of like the Ruthless Aggression thing. Like I think they struck a really good balance of what their product was. Like Attitude Era was like catch your attention with all this crazy things that a child thinks is edgy, and then later on it became, I don't know, I think it was just, you know, Ruthless Aggression was like a great balance for me, and I love that.
So just to share with you naman where we're coming from, Kamini Ro, we actually came into the fandom during the Ruthless Aggression Era, so we totally missed out on Attitude Era.
Yeah, I hear that a lot, especially here in the Philippines. I guess it's also accessibility thing, like, yeah, it wasn't as accessible at a certain point now, and then when it came on to Solar, when they started showing Raw and Solar at 10:30, which is, I should have been asleep because it was cool the next day, but it wasn't because I was watching Raw on Solar Sports.
Exactly, and Jack TV then made it even more popular because they showed
started
showing live and all that.
Do you remember how lucky we were then that we would get live pay-per-views basically for free or as part of our cable subscription?
I know. It was wild. That was a great time. And it was just all wrestling. That was the Jack TV. That was like basically 70% of their programming.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Tama.
So what point would you say was your peak fandom when, let's say, you were really obsessed with wrestling, you would do all the catchphrases and the gestures, and you'd collect the merch, wear the t-shirts everywhere and all that?
I don't want to... Okay, going into this conversation with you guys, I told myself I wanted to speak as little about this as possible, because any of my wrestling friends know that I've just gone on and on about this ad nauseum, and I'm sure people are annoyed about me talking about this, but I was lucky enough to go with my dad to WrestleMania 30.
Yes.
Wow.
7 years
wow.
ago. Yeah. And that was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Even though since, you know, my fandom has like dipped to pretty large extremes here and there. Yeah, WrestleMania 30, I'd say, was the peak, because that was obviously, you go to the Mecca, and I was just, you know, living and breathing it. Like I watched, before we left for the States, I watched every single WrestleMania, the entire card, top to bottom, before we left. And yeah, I was just absolutely like, I was a horse with the blinders on for wrestling in 2014, early 2014, because I was headed to Mania.
I mean, you were there. You were literally part of the Yes movement, and you saw Yes Mania at its peak.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that we haven't met, even though I've gone to a few handful of your shows, especially back in the MCS days.
Oh, wow.
So I haven't talked your ear off about this yet. So I will do so now.
Yes, right.
Nice. Go right ahead. Yeah, sure.
I'm lucky enough to be in his book. I'm looking at it now. I don't know the title because I don't really read that much. I just bought it because it was Daniel Bryan. It's called Yes, because I met him in Access, and then I gave him like a gift and a shirt that I made, and then it got onto the website, www.com, which nobody uses anymore. But and then it, later on, that same article made its way into his book. So my name is in his book. And I didn't know until I bought the thing, was just looking through it. I was in Singapore. I was on a tour. I was just looking through it. It's like, why is my name? What? I'm in Daniel Bryan's book. So yeah, he was.
You have to check my copy.
Yeah, dude. Please, I'll give you the page number once this is.
No, that's awesome. I have a copy of the book as well, so we can probably take a picture and then gagamitin natin pang promo for the podcast.
Yeah. Sige.
Yeah, things like that, and you know, I also like as far as like my the peak of my fandom, right? Like I'm also lucky enough to, because you mentioned the Yes Movement. I made this like moving Daniel Bryan sign that got onto the network in some promo spots and footage and stuff. So I'm on, pay-per-views later on, I'd be watching with my friends. And then a promo package for WrestleMania 31 would go on, which obviously contains footage from WrestleMania 30. And then I flashed on. It was like, we were like, oh crap, it was me. So yeah, things like that. I kind of ran the gamut, of wrestling experiences when we made that trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty much on the same level of fandom as we are, because we're marking out over the same things, mostly the same people. And I've also experienced WrestleMania myself. I went to 35. So, you know, we have that in common. Kofi Mania,
New York.
Well, okay, that was a good one as far as the recent ones to have been, I'd say.
Yeah.
How was that? How could you go away? What was your experience like?
So I went with Chris Panzer, also from PWR then. Yeah, so we went to MetLife Stadium. Sobrang lamig, balut na balut kami. And my favorite moment there was John Cena coming out as OG Cena, Doctor of Thugonomic Cena.
Yes, no, there's nothing like it, man. It's also a blessing to watch WrestleMania without the commentary first. Mm-hmm. Just watch the matches, and then later on you get that layer of the broadcast, and it's just an amazing experience. Like. Even now, like, admittedly, I'm not as, like, that was my peak, right? I'm nowhere near as diehard of a wrestling fan as I was back then. But I'd still, like, say, like, my friends, there's three of us who are into wrestling, and we always get together for the big pay-per-views. Like, we watched the Rumble yesterday. I keep on prodding them and teasing them. Like, one of them is married and has a kid now. One of them is engaged. And I'm like, yo, 40, guys. You know my favorite number? 40. If I keep on finding them to try and
enough time
do this whole bro trip to WrestleMania 40 and experience it, because people who haven't actually gone to a live wrestling show don't know what they're missing out on.
Amen.
Yeah,
I like how you've got this I don't know, 3-5 year plan in place to eventually make it to WrestleMania 40. Because yun yung parang recommended from the people I've talked to who've gone to WrestleMania, it's best to have like a 2 or 3 year plan just to get all your ducks in a row, from your finances to fixing your logistics and making sure that everything is in place. So I don't know if that was your experience as well when you went to 30.
Absolutely, dude. I don't know how you went about going to 35, but when my dad and I went to 30, we booked everything ourselves, hotel, tickets, all that stuff. And it was a nightmare.
A la carte ba?
Yes. Everything.
Smart.
It was midnight on my birthday and I was waiting for refreshing the ticket site. This was Mania itself. I was like, it's so deadly, which is why for anyone who's planning to go to WrestleMania, even though it's going to be, you're going to shell out a significant amount more, the convenience is definitely worth it to get those travel packages, because they are, they just cover everything. And booking everything yourself is a nightmare. And this is going to segue into my story about how, so I had to book everything myself, right? There's this forum. I don't even know what the wrestling forum is called. There's hundreds of them, right? If not thousands. But there's one where every single year they make this thread that's like this helpful guide for anyone who wants to travel to Mania and book it themselves. Like everything, people who've been to that place, people from that area will be like, oh, you don't go here, book this hotel, blah, blah, blah. It's just very generous and helpful. And that forum is where I met Shocked Undertaker guy, who I will always say I was friends with before he got famous. Ellis nice. Umba,
the
guy with huge yeah. Dude, he is the nicest guy. He is the reason I got to meet the Rhodes brothers at Access, because we met up at like he just randomly helped me on one question in that thread. And then I recognized him when I went to Access, went up to him, and then we became friends. And he basically gave me his spot in line to meet the Rhodes brothers. Guy's an amazing person. So yeah, a lot of cool experiences like that besides the event itself.
Bebo, we want to get to know more about your experience at WrestleMania in New Orleans. And we want to start off by asking who you got to meet that was so unforgettable. But before we get to that, let's let our listeners know how they can help out the podcast through their online shopping.
All right, so as we all know, we don't need a special occasion to shop online. Whenever we need something, we go get it right away. Because that's the convenience and simplicity of online shopping. And because you are a Wrestling Podcast listener, we have an exclusive deal for you. You just have to use our affiliate link, tinyurl.com/WrestlingWrestlingXLazada, tinyurl.com/WrestlingWrestlingXLazada, to help us out a little with our day-to-day operations here. So every time you make a purchase using the mobile app, the mobile Lazada app, it goes a long, long way in helping us out, keep the lights on, keep the show running, and do what we do best. So again, that's tinyurl.com/WrestlingWrestlingXLazada. Thank you for your help.
And now a quick word from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia. Now hold on just a minute, playa. That's a Teddy Long reference for you. If you're probably wondering how a few wrestling fans who put together a podcast for their love of wrestling have been able to collab with brands here on the Wrestling Podcast, well, the answer is simple. We use Podmetrics. So if you have a podcast, no matter what the size is, you can sign up now at podmetrics.co, that's podmetrics.co, and use our referral code, Wrestling2XPod, all caps, one word, that's WRESTLING, the number 2, the letter X, and the letters POD. Again, Wrestling2XPod, all caps, one word, and hey, it's a great way to show support for the show as well. Now, if you're an advertiser and you want to collab with us on the Wrestling Podcast, who are we to say no? You can head on over to advertiser.podmetrics.co and fill up the form. Again, that's Podmetrics, the easiest way to monetize your podcast. Who did you get to meet nung trip na yun at Access or Mania na yung talagang you'll never forget?
Dude, I honestly kind of feel bad that while I was in New Orleans, it was just all wrestling for me. Also, because New Orleans is smaller compared to a lot of other like sports destination cities, right? So there were just wrestlers everywhere. And the reason I said I feel bad is because I love New Orleans, but I don't really feel like I got the New Orleans experience because it was just all wrestling all the time while I was there. People were just walking around. Like I met, Curtis Axel on the street.
Wow. Random.
I met Roman. I met Booker T. I met Christian. I met Danny Bryan, obviously, because of my Access VIP.
God damn. So
even the super fans, Sam Roberts. I took a picture of Sam Roberts. Rick, the guy with the red hat.
Yeah.
The super fans who they recognize from every single pay per view, right? I walked up to them shamelessly. I was like, "Can I take a picture with you?" Like they're that lady with the curly red hair and her son who's in a wheelchair. They're such nice people. That's a whole bunch. Like Goldberg gave me the hardest high five I've ever received in my life. It was more of a punch five, kind of hurt. And back then WrestleCon, whatever independent stuff, could be much closer to WrestleMania than they could be now. So it was just there too. I went to that show too. Didn't shell out for the meets there, but I just to be in the same room as a lot of the wrestlers there, like Angle and the Dudleys were all at that WrestleCon. It was great just to be around that environment. WrestleMania was New Orleans for that time because the city was so small. And I'm sure New Jersey was the same way when you went there. Like you see the signs and you arrive at the airport.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
All the banners are there and like, oh my God, we're actually here. Holy crap. So, yeah.
And you feel represented as a fan kasi yung wrestling, diba, it's always been categorized as a niche interest. Pero when you land and touch down sa airport and freaking WrestleMania is all over the airport, you feel represented. I don't know if you felt that
way. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, dude. My dad is kind of a hothead though, so when we arrived, like he was kind of stressed about something. So we didn't. I was balancing like being like super stoked for seeing everything and like trying to be like, okay, dad, yeah, let's just get to our hotel. It's okay. So, but yeah, it's a great feeling from just the moment you land. You're right. Like the moment you land, you feel represented. You feel like. Like we're all here together on the plane. I'm sure. Did you meet any fans while you were flying to Jersey?
Ako hindi. Sa New York, New Jersey area lang talaga. So WrestleCon access. That's where I really felt the community. You mentioned yung mga kilalang super fans. Like I met Izzy at access, and I got a hug from Izzy, a very consensual hug. Yes, and I took pictures with her. And her family, Sam Roberts, I met him as well. And I got featured on This Week in WWE. So Scott Stanford interviewed me for a spot. And then it got aired on the network. So talagang gets ko what you're saying.
I love to hear that. I love that you basically sold out for your experience. Because you can't be cool about it when you're there.
No, like, yeah, yeah.
Get everything out of it as you can, right? So I'm glad to hear you got those spots, man. That's awesome.
You mentioned that you went to WrestleMania with your dad. So is your dad a fan then? And what's his level of fandom?
Yeah, he's the one who got me into wrestling. Like back in the Aka video days, you can rent out tapes of Raw.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so he would rent tapes and we watched them. I remember watching Backlash. That's one of my earliest wrestling memories is watching Backlash, Rock and Triple H. While we were at I was in a hotel with my parents. We watched that pay-per-view, playing SmackDown with my dad.
Nice.
One of the epic gaming experiences I had is I was Stone Cold, obviously, and he was Rock. And it was a steel cage match. We were playing SmackDown on PS1. And we didn't know that to escape the cage, you had to keep pressing up. You had to keep tapping up. We were just holding up, and it took forever. This match was the longest match ever. It was an absolute stinker, but... Yeah, stuff like that with my dad. My dad is one of my greatest influences with everything, like movies, TV, comics, wrestling. These days, he doesn't watch as much, same as me, but like, you know, like last Sunday, he'd be like, when's the Rumble? It's like, oh, tomorrow. Okay, cool. Things like that. Wow. He's always aware of that stuff.
Solid. Actually.
Quick question. What's your favorite wrestling game?
Game? Ah. I want to sound like cultured and say, here comes the game. But when SmackDown versus Raw came out,
that's fine.
That was epic for me. I remember like maybe two after was my favorite. Maybe 2011 was my favorite. Oh, nice. SVR.
Good choice.
Oh, no, wait, no, sorry. But as far as the controls, Attitude is so good, man.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You had to like remember these like fatality type
like it was a fighting game
sequences.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right,
it was great. I love Attitude.
It was confusing, but it was satisfying then to pull off.
exactly. You hit the nail on the head,
man. It's pretty interesting because I don't know. I didn't expect this level of fandom like heading into this conversation. So I'm pleasantly surprised that we're geeking out this much. And
I'm glad, man.
Yeah, we don't really get a whole lot of people kasi who just openly geek out like this. And it's one of the reasons why we set out to start this podcast way back when. Because we want to find these people, lalo na with platforms like yours, like, you know, just being unabashedly proud of being a wrestling fan. So did it ever come to a point where you had to hide your fandom because you were ashamed of it or because it didn't seem cool, lalo na when you got into entertainment?
No, not really. People, like, it's good that you mentioned that because like because I'm also a huge MMA fan, right? And one of the things I hated, like if I'm at work, theater performing is a bit of a, I'd say I might get heat for this, but like it's a bit of more of a feminine type of environment, right? Mm-hmm. There, I'd say a lot more women involved in the performing arts. And as far as their interests go, you know, they're watching this thing called Bridgerton or whatever.
Yeah,
or
Netflix.
Yeah, and there's this other thing that bling something. It's that type of you know, vibe.
Demo, yeah, so, that type of demo.
Yeah, one of the worst things that I'll hear is whenever they clump, I'll post something about UFC, and then they'll call, Bibo and his wrestling again. It's like, whoa, I just mean that. Like you're just blanketing it as that, but Yeah, I wouldn't say I'd have to hide, but like I've always been unabashed about all my interests. So I'm surprised to hear you say that. I guess it's more of a Filipino thing, diba? Na parang it's weird. Like we're some of the friendliest and most communal people on earth, but as far as these things, we don't really gather too much. And that's something that I wanna like put people on blast about a bit. My friends too, because yo, you guys have been putting on shows like nobody's business. I mean, like you've been working your butts off. And these two friends of mine are currently more into wrestling than I am. Neither of them have been to a live wrestling show, a live local wrestling show. And I'm like, dudes, there's wrestling right here happening before your eyes. And all you got to do is pay a couple, whatever prices. It's definitely cheaper than whatever WWE Live is coming every two or three years. True. So yeah, man, I mean, people just got to go. We just got to support it if they actually do love it. So I don't know. It's just something I wanted to make sure I brought up because I love the following and I love the college-y vibe.
Okay.
That's gone on in the local feds, sort of like that Full Sail NXT vibe thing that it's this underground Lucha Underground type of vibe. But people just got to keep going, man, because it's a blast.
Well, you know, there's this one thing called the pandemic, and that effectively killed the wrestling scene here, or at least put it
for
on the
meantime.
Shelf.
For the meantime. Totally dead.
It's on the shelf. It's on the injured reserve list, as we say in sports. But yeah, you know, before COVID hit, I have to say that the wrestling community really showed up then for events like yung mga viewing parties at Skinny Mike's for WrestleMania or the Rumble. Did you ever go to those?
I went to. All right, so I'll just have you know that I'm a huge Daniel Bryan mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just my favorite, period. And I'm really, really gutted that he didn't win the Rumble. And also back in 2015, when he didn't win the Rumble then either, I was just so hot. I was like, I'm so done with Vince McMahon and his BS. But going to Skinny Mike's to watch WrestleMania 31 was one of the greatest wrestling experiences.
Oh, you were there?
Because it was like, that was so energetic. I believe it was the first time you guys did it, right?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
I answered a question. Who was Eddie Guerrero's last WrestleMania opponent? Rey Mysterio. You gave me a Great Muta action figure.
Oh shit!
Did you get that from Japan? Like, was it from like a Japan trip or something?
I think so. Or kung hindi yun, it must have been from a sponsor.
Yeah, we have friends.
Okay. Because I can imagine going to like, I don't know if you guys have traveled, have been to Tokyo. I can imagine going to Nakano Broadway and all the wrestling stuff that you'd find there if you're into the Japanese stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So yeah, that was great. Dude, the Skinny Mike's thing, so much fun. I was so pleasantly surprised to see how many people were there.
Yes.
And the vibe, the energy. You were a great host, Stan.
Thank you.
WrestleMania play button is one of my favorite jokes.
Yes,
and
we use it as the name of the viewing party.
Exactly, and then so every WrestleMania, WrestleMania Pirate Scabbard Part 2, I guess, is happening this year. So that's fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, you know, it feels like this conversation was meant to happen. Like our paths had crossed and we just didn't know it. Or in my case, you know, we just weren't introduced. So it's amazing.
Well, the thing is, dude, like, so I have a lot of people in the wrestling business here in the Philippines are also like into other forms of entertainment, right? Like Derek's a good friend. Of course, mm-hmm. We know each other from theater,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. And the reason that I haven't gotten more involved than I really, really have wanted to for years now is because we're both in the entertainment industry and things happen on Saturday and Sunday nights.
Yeah.
So whenever they're like, hey, man, come over. Like, you can, like, announce something or, like, whatever. I'd have a show. Things like that, you know? One of my most painful memories when it comes to this stuff is, so I was doing Angling El Bimbo in Resorts World. Was it you guys or was it the other guys who? I don't want to stir anything up, but
we're not affiliated right now, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, there was a wrestling show happening in the mall, in Newport Mall, which is where our theater, Newport Performing Theater.
That was in Atarik, yeah.
Yeah, that's MWF.
Yeah, MWF was there, and I was like at the same time we had the show. I was like, oh man, I want to be there, or like have, because
Wala bang understudy cool. You could have taken on young Hector for you for that day?
No, not over here in our part of the woods, brother. It's like if you're only not on stage if you're deathly sick or dying. But yeah, it would have been cool to like even just run in as our characters or something. I don't know. I don't want to disrespect anyone, but you know, those things just keep running in your head. Like, it would have been so cool to do this, do that, but no, like. And it's funny, like my theater friends who are also wrestling fans, who a good number of whom are much more athletic than I am, like, yo, let's go, let's just do a tryout just for kicks. They're like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, whatever. Like, why don't you want to? You're more into wrestling than I am. There's wrestling right here. You could try to be a wrestler if you wanted to. Why aren't you taking the opportunity? I don't know. It's weird, but yeah.
I get the frustration kasi syempre you're also from the local theater industry, and you know, I've always said na theater doesn't get the love that it deserves here in this country.
Thanks,
so
man.
I think you can relate to yung frustration na come on, support local, diba? Whether it's support local wrestling or support local theater, support local music. It wasn't really until I got involved with PWR that I began to relate with that frustration. Dude, support local.
Yeah, man. And it's just a party. Like it's I love that vibe of just, you know, I know you guys moved around already since, but I loved it when it was in MCS and it was in that friggin' Muay Thai boxing gym. It was so like, wow, this is like, we're at the ground level, boys. Like, have you been to Corakland Hall?
Yes, I have been to Corrigan. Yeah.
What is there a name for that staircase with all the graffiti on the walls?
Sa Corrigan or sa MCS?
Sa Corrigan.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that wall.
Anyway, they make people line up there in that staircase, right? For when they're opening the house or whatever. Opening the house. Such a theater term. But there's this staircase that has graffiti everywhere. Of course, you got the belts and the posters in like the main hall, right? But then there's a staircase where like people just like write on the walls and stuff. And I was like, wow, I love the history. I love the vibe. And I love that sort of like underground niche, like this is our thing vibe, that, and I feel like the local feds are able to capture that really well.
I'm not sure what the worst dressing room you've been in is, because I can imagine if you're performing at Resorts World, that's such a bougie dressing room. Pero nung MCS days, Ro can attest to this, our dressing room was basically as small as Harry Potter's cupboard.
Bad. Yeah. No bathrooms at all.
I love it.
Sobrang, gritty niya na yung CR namin was basically the Gatorade bottles that had our drinks in it like 2 hours prior.
that's awesome.
That's indie wrestling, brother.
Hey man, I've had to do a show in this office space, and our quote unquote dressing room didn't have a bathroom, so similar vibes, man. We knew who was and wasn't hydrated on that during those shows. Let's put it that way. But yeah, and also I loved how the wrestlers would just come out. There's that balcony thing, right? And watch matches as they went along, because I saw that same thing when I watched the WrestleCon Super Show in New Orleans. Like, so Steen was on that card, a bunch of other guys, and they would just like be hanging around while the show was going on, watching the matches. I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously it's because there are no monitors, but like, I'm surprised that it was so casual like that, but it was cool to see. Like, Michael Elgin was walking around after his match. I was like, hey, good match, Mike. He's like, thanks.
Okay, cool. So at least we were able to.
Yeah, Mike. Sorry, what was that, Romeo?
No. No choice but to watch from the balcony, because it's not like we could hang around backstage in the super hot locker room.
Right.
Yeah, so that was really all we had at the time. Bibo, I've said this so many times here on the podcast, that wrestling and theater, they're kindred spirits as fields and as crafts. Now, I want to ask, how have you been able to incorporate your wrestling fandom into your work as a professional in the world of theater? We'll get to know all about that, but first, here's another way you can support the podcast, and again, it is through your online shopping.
Right. So we got so many options when it comes to online shopping right now. So if you shop on Shopee, you can also help us out here in the Wrestling Podcast. You know, help us do what we do. Again, you can use our affiliate link at tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee. That's tinyurl.com/WWPXShopee. Again, a portion of the purchase you make, will go a long, long way in our day-to-day podcast network Asia operations. And, you know, just help us do what we do right here on the Wrestling Podcast. Again, thank you so much for your help.
And now here's another message from our other podcasts on Podcast Network Asia.
Are you a big sports fan? If so, make sure to listen to Off the Record with me, Migs Bustos. Together, we'll get up close and personal with the biggest names in the sports industry. Check it out after listening to this episode. Off the Record is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all other major podcast platforms thanks to Podcast Network Asia. Catch you guys on my show.
I want to ask about how you've been able to incorporate wrestling into theater, if applicable, man, because I've always looked at wrestling and theater as very similar industries.
I mean, one thing I just really give workers, if I am allowed to use that term,
credit for, is
how much of improvisation goes into it, because like, you know, there's improv in theater too. Like, there's improv involved in classes, ganyan. Especially if you're like, with my experience in El Bimbo, we were creating a show from the ground up, right? So there was a lot of actors like input too. Like, maybe I can say this, do that, you know, try things. But when we're actually doing the show and when it's go time, your anchor and your solace is the script, because that's what you're there for, to tell the story, and it's written there. Like, it's kind of actually looked down upon when an actor is too improv-y. Like, they'll say their lines super verbatim, and it's like, yo, I need to hear what you say every night, because I need to know what my cue is, things like that. So it's like this machine that works like very specifically and very like, there's millions of moving pieces, and everything needs to go right for the next thing to go right. But in wrestling, like, you have to gauge the crowd and things like that. Like, promos are, for the most part, just, oh, cover this, and just say whatever. Or like, do your thing. And like, I'm so anghina ko when it comes to that stuff. Like, if you asked me to do a promo right now, I'd suck. Like, I'm gonna beat you. Zai, better than you. Hit my music. You know, it's actually. You're too kind, but like, I can't, like, the magic that people have come up with just going off the cuff has been, I marvel at it. I was telling Jake, we did this on his IG.
Jake is in Jake De Leon.
Jake De Leon. I was telling him about how it's just amazing. If we make a mistake, there's always a script. Like, we'll always have a rail to get the train back onto, right? If something goes wrong. But in wrestling, it's like, yo, you fuck up and the audience is going to let you know it, because they don't need to keep quiet like ours does. So it's really like, things need to go right. I was watching, like, and I'm learning more and more about it. I haven't been so in depth that I've really gone into like what goes into it. Like, I don't know what all the terms are, but things like, I was watching, I love Pat McAfee, and I was watching his match with Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where Adam's sitting on the ground. I think Pat just hit something, and then Pat goes in for a rear chin lock or whatever. And then I see Adam Cole do this, like, he flails around. Sorry, this is an audio thing. He flails around as Pat's doing that. So there's a struggle, and then Pat cinches the hold in. If it's not Adam Cole, who's an amazing wrestler, that's gonna look like crap, because it's just gonna be a guy sitting there who when another guy just puts his arm around his neck. But because Adam makes a story of it, and he's like, just that small moment of like struggle, next beat. Like, I'm sure that's something you learn if you're training, but like, it's something that a lot of people will take for granted, unfortunately, if they're watching. Like, they think this stuff just happens, but these guys are doing things in there like almost to the second of things that they need to keep you entertained and keep your attention focused on what they're doing.
No, I'm glad na you pay that much attention to detail, and considering na you haven't really gone through wrestling training. I mean, you know, I haven't really gone through a whole lot of training myself, and it takes me forever to notice these little details. So it also says a lot about, I guess, your eye and your attention to detail as a fan.
That's only, it's only something that I've really tried to pay attention to now. I think it's also a product of getting to talk to guys like you who are in the business and like seeing it at a ground level, because you've watched wrestling since you were a kid, right? And these icons are such, you know, they can do no wrong. But when you realize that things can go wrong is when you're like, why didn't it? And what did they do to make it as good as it was? Like, yeah, things like that. It's really fascinating. It was only recently that I started really paying attention to that stuff. By the way, it's funny that you say that you haven't gone too much training, as I'm sure you've influenced the results of many an important bout in your day. Despite that, regardless.
Well, thank you for acknowledging my part in canon or in the history of the local scene. But yeah,
you're a despicable person. But no, I love that. And also, I guess it was because sorry, I'm going on about it.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess it was because it was Pat in that match. And even though he can go, like you can see, he doesn't move like other wrestlers do. And there are these moments in between where it's kind of dead, even though it's entertaining because it's Pat McAfee in there. But like you can see talaga, like even when like Stephen Amell, like he did that thing with Cody, right? And even though he was doing these impressive athletic things, the in-between stuff was missing. Yeah. And because of that, it felt weird. It felt like the match felt naked without all of that nuance in the thing.
Yeah, those are really good points. And again, yun nga, these are things that not everybody can notice. So I would say like that's a deeper level of watching and enjoying the business, what you just laid out. Diba? Like kami ni Ro, we kind of talk about it on the podcast with Gino, pero not that much anymore. Not these days, diba?
Oh, okay. It's more like the general stuff, what's going on.
Yeah. Like the story, how we feel about it, yeah. Where it's going, you know, stuff like that. So that's a new level of deep, which I have an appreciation for it.
I feel like when it comes to WWE, like even though like people are so frustrated with the product as it stands, you can count me among that. Like I love a pay-per-view, like I love DLC, and then more stuff will happen throughout the week. And I'm like, really? What? Why? Despite that. You can say that, but like I think also like their in-ring is the best it's ever been, because yes, there are just so many talented wrestlers right now.
That's
despite
right.
The fact that like the general stuff isn't as palatable as it could be or was in the past. Sorry, you were gonna.
No, we'll be the first to say that the Royal Rumble was really, really good. Like we gave it an A on the podcast. So we feel like, you know, when certain people are running the show, like I guess Adam Pearce for the Rumble this year, it works really, really well, like a well-oiled engine. So, you know, there's that at least.
Was it, sorry, I don't know what the positions are, but like Adam was like the main booker of the Rumble for this year. Is that a deal? Is that something?
According to the rumors going around from the wrestling news sites, Adam Pearce was highly instrumental in putting the match together. So the way it's laid out, you can thank him for it.
Ah, I see. I actually did enjoy it despite Daniel Bryan not winning. The match itself was pretty cool. Sorry.
I want to ask about yung mga wrestling references that you're able to sneak in to your work if possible, because siguro yung parang pinaka reference point ko rito is Jake Cuenca, because when we asked him this question, he said that when he was starting out as a model for bench, he would walk down the runway and then he would pose on stage like Randy Orton in his underwear. So yung mga ganung small references, like did you ever get to do that on stage?
I try not to, because it's like, I mean, modeling or something I'm sure the bevy of appearances he's done in shows and stuff, you can get away with that. But like theater is kind of like you got to respect the story. Mm-hmm. So me personally, I don't want too much of me involved in that equation. So as much as possible, I try to get away from it. But my friend Reb, who was my alternate, Reb is one of my friends who I put on blast, by the way, my wrestling friends. So I put on blast whenever I'm going to see a show. So if you want to interview someone next and just, you know, set him on a pyre, that guy who was my alternate for, we both played Young Hector in Ang Huling at Bimbo. There's one moment there where once in a while, he'd throw up a too sweet to Joy. And people actually noticed it, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I did it one once in a while, but like, you know, I didn't want to cop his thing.
No. That's totally fair. As we begin to wind down here, you already mentioned going to WrestleMania Live and how that was your wrestling pilgrimage of sorts, right? So, meron pa bang holy grail of things that you feel like you need to do as a wrestling fan before, you know, before it's all over, or let's say a legend or a superstar that you have to meet before it's all said and done?
I didn't get to meet Stone Cold while I was in New Orleans, but he and JR were eating at a restaurant, and they were like right by this huge glass window. And as I was walking back to my hotel room from Access, or the Access building that day, I turned to my left and I made eye contact with Stone Cold Steve Austin, like 2 feet away from him through a glass pane, which is really cool. So yeah, it'd be cool to meet him. But I mean, like, honestly, I kind of feel the same way about that as I do having met D. Bry, because like I didn't really get to talk to Daniel Bryan. Like, it was just like, hi, hello. If you're asking like pipe dream, be stuck in a room with someone for a couple hours, just be able to talk their head off. Vince McMahon, dude, like first, like just tear into him for like all the stuff he made me depressed about. And I'd be like, so really, Vince, like, what's the deal? You know, things like that. It was funny hearing about how Christian talked about, you know, how he won the title and then Randy just beat him the next day. Mm-hmm. And then apparently, like, Vince explained to him, like, okay, we really need you guys to get all the way to SummerSlam, but we can't turn Randy heel because he just turned face. So we need you to drop it. Things like that. So I'm sure if you're in the room when these conversations happen, Vince probably has some voodoo magic that he puts on people. It convinces them this is a good idea. And I don't think any of us would be immune to that, even though, like, you know, later on we're like, what the hell was that? Why would you do that? That's such stupid, you know, it's such a stupid decision. But I'm sure if we were in the room, we'd be like, oh, you're right, Mr. McMahon. Okay.
The Jedi mind trick ka na.
Exactly.
As a last question, you know, you've been through so many eras as a wrestling fan, from the Attitude Era all the way to the present day. And as you mentioned yourself, you've dipped in and out and have been a fan to varying degrees. But right now, what keeps you watching the product, or who keeps you watching the product?
Daniel Bryan winning the... honestly, it's that. It's my favorites who are still there. Like... And yeah, I saw your reaction to the Rumble winning. I will say I have that same Rated R Superstar shirt. I was gutted when Manila happened to be a pro Cena crowd. I was so confused when they first came here, or when they came here after a long while back in 2006. I was such an edgehead, but I was so gutted that D-Bry didn't win. Even though, like, I was such an I'm a huge Edge fan, but I was a little depressed when he won. So. You know, things like I definitely am too passionate about certain wrestlers here and there. That's just the mark in me. I can't help but like root for my guys.
Yeah,
I can't like
nothing
pull
wrong
away
with that.
And, yeah, I can't help. I can't like pull away and appreciate just the match or something, even though it was one of the best Rumbles in a while. Yes, it's that. It's my favorites who keep me watching, and things like appreciating someone's work is okay. Like, I mean, I've hated Roman Reigns for years. Now he's one of my favorite superstars because I finally did the thing that they should have been doing this whole time with him. So yeah, it's that. It's seeing my favorites, and that's really it. I'm such a mark. It's just my favorite guys that keep me watching. Like, I got so excited when D. Bry did that first talking smack with Paul, and he was like, "I'm gonna beat your guy's ass." I was like, "Yes, Daniel. Yes, you are." Yeah, things like that.
I love it, because that's way more that I expected from when I asked you on Twitter, "Uy, what's your wrestling diet like?" And you're like, "Oh, you know, I watch here and there a couple of clips," and then all the details that you went into. No, sir, you don't just watch clips.
Oh, no, no, I guess I undersold that a bit.
Yeah, you totally undersold that.
No, but you know, yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I appreciated it. Like, we're almost at an hour here, and it really didn't feel like it, just because your passion for wrestling just emanated through the call.
I know, like, I've quit wrestling so many times because of all the BS, but I just keep coming back. And I guess it's because I'm talking to you guys, you know, I can't help but pour out. And also because we're fresh off the Rumble.
Yeah.
But like, there's this dead spot in my fandom from like, 2016 to 2019, right? Just wasn't paying attention at all. Like, I always watched Mania, but the Rumble Mania, like I told you. But other than that, like, all that AJ stuff when he first came in, I was completely, like, tuned out at that point. So I guess in that sense, just being the keeping up annually is a little fuzzy there, but you caught me at a good time. Let's just say that to have this conversation.
Hey, if you're ever down to come back and do a preview podcast with us, like for, I don't know, this year's WrestleMania, we'd be down for that.
Dude, I would love to, man. And nice. I've been this whole interview, I've been waiting for you to ask me something like that.
Let's do it. So we're going to stay in touch and, you know, just like how we followed each other, where can our listeners catch you on social media?
Yes, on the Sockmez, you can catch me at Biba Las Vegas on IG, at Biba Reyes on Twitter. And then, sorry, just a quick little plug for anyone who wants like video greetings or whatever. This is so shameless. I hate it.
Go down.
Please, I'm on Shoutout, shoutout.com, I believe is the website. And yep. You can also book me through vidforyouph on Instagrams.
Solid. Well, we can't judge you for that because we are on Shoutout as well.
Hello.
No judgments whatsoever. Biba Reyes, thank you so much, man. Enjoyed this conversation. And there's definitely going to be a sequel for this one.
Awesome. I love to hear it. Dude, thank you so much. This was so much fun. Honestly, I've been trying to like, you know, like squeeze my way in through the cracks of the local industry for a while, but I just can't seem to do it. But I'm so glad to be able to talk to you guys today to say thank you for that great mood to figure and to just appreciate all the things you guys do for the art of wrestling here in our neck of the woods. Thank you so much, guys. This was so much fun.
We appreciate that you appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks again to Biba Reyes for joining us on the podcast. And what did we tell you? But that was a conversation that I was so pleasantly surprised I've had today.
That was my open invitation pa siya para bumalik.
Yeah. You know, we love it whenever the guests are down to come back. And best believe that Biba Reyes will be back here on the Wrestling podcast. Now, if there are any other personalities, especially here in the local scene, that you want us to get in touch with, like for some reason, you know that they're a big wrestling fan and they haven't shown up on our radar for whatever reason, please feel free to hit us up at Wrestling2XPod on Twitter or at Wrestling Podcast on Instagram. We'd appreciate all leads. And,
you know
we just really want to help keep bringing the wrestling community together, even though we're all stuck at home, and make new friends along the way. And this is what we do here on the podcast. Now, if you can't get enough of what we do and everything we talk about, there are two ways for you to keep getting your Wrestling Podcast content. First off, there is the Patreon program. So, Ro, let's tell them how they can sign up to be part of our Patreon program.
Right, so this recording is right after the Royal Rumble we had, the Royal Rumble watch party we had just yesterday. So you can be a part of that as well. We can be a part of the Wrestling Podcast pay-per-view watch-alongs, if you will, by signing up to be a part of our Patreon. So all you have to do is go to patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast. For as low as 250 pesos a month, you can join our little fledgling community. Perks include having access to exclusive post-show content wherein we review your favorite wrestling shows. That's Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and Dynamite, and pay-per-views as well. And then, syempre, may Discord community in which you can talk wrestling and other stuff with your fellow fans. Right now, it's growing steadily, so best believe that you can get some really good conversation going. And we also have merch, exclusive merch that we can ship to you just for being a member of our Patreon. So right now, our merch du jour is the Wrestling Podcast face mask that is super stylish, super soft, and super breathable. And best believe that there will be more merch on the way. So a lot of those things you can get for, again, as low as 250 pesos when you sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/wrestlingpodcast. Do it now if you can.
And if you want to keep watching us live, we have our weekly streams on Kumu at Wrestling Pod. It happens every Thursday at 7 p.m. So if you want to hear us talk about things as they happen, lalo na yung mga current events or the big news, that's where you tune in for the show. All right. As for social media, you can follow us on Twitter at Wrestling2XPod, Instagram and Facebook at Wrestling Podcast, and Kumu at Wrestling Pod. Thank you so much to everybody working behind the scenes, especially Babyface producers Nika and Sola and the rest of the Podcast Network Asia team for letting us do what we do best, and that is talk about wrestling for you, the Filipino wrestling fan. And now, this episode of the Wrestling Podcast is officially in the books. We'll catch you again on the next one, whether that's on the Kumu stream or the next exclusive audio-only episode. Until then, on behalf of Chino Liao, who's still in the US, and Ro Moran, who's right here with me, my name is Stan C, saying thank you very much. Please mask up, stay safe, stay healthy, and peace out.
Peace.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.